Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to what we have come to realize is the most important, the fastest growing, and even the largest segment of society. To those who know that the world's political, religious, military, media, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they are counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. In our second hour today, and into our third, we're going to examine one of the great myths in the world today, that of Pauline Christianity, and going to use Paul's own testimony to prove that the author of half of the Christian New Testament cannot and should not be trusted. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in our discussion of the news or of the religion of Christianity, is 877-300-7645. Immediately before the voice recording was made public of Netanyahu's belligerent, dictatorial, arrogant, irrational, and ignorant rant against Israel with Benjamin Netanyahu. The Washington establishment was in full attack mode against Israel. It's why it's so obvious that the recording is authentic. This from the Dateline Washington. It's an article by the Associated Press. The Obama administration pushed back strongly Monday at a torrent of Israeli criticism over Secretary of State John Kerry's latest bid to secure a ceasefire with Hamas, accusing some in Israel of launching a misinformation campaign against the top American diplomat. "It's simply not the way partners and allies treat each other," State Department spokeswoman Jen Psaki said. Well, the fact of the matter is, what the Israelis did is they published what Secretary of State John Lurch Kerry was promoting. They thought it was so egregious, they thought it was so much an ode to terrorism, that they published it. And to pretend that Israel and the United States are partners and allies, when the United States is funding Hamas, when the United States is working on behalf of Hamas, and when the United States is providing 25 times more weaponry to Israel's avowed enemies than it is to Israel, is ludicrous. What we have learned is that what the Obamanator is proposing is that Israel engage in a unilateral ceasefire and allow Hamas to continue to fire rockets, to continue to build tunnels, to continue to acquire and deploy weapons against its citizens. But beyond that, well, that is ludicrous in itself. Beyond that, the Kerry proposal has Israel give in to the second most oft-recited goal of Hamas, that Israel end its blockade. Well, the blockade of Gaza is only for weapons and has always been only for weapons. So what the United States is proposing is that Israel retreat, that Israel no longer defend itself, that Hamas can fire and acquire as many weapons as it wishes, and that Israel immediately gives up all measures of restraint on Gaza and Hamas and allows them to import as many rockets, as many bombs, as many missiles as they desire. the Kerry plan, which is from the Obaminator himself, which is articulated in the recorded discussion between the two that took place on Sunday, is a recipe for Israel's annihilation. And do not think that it's a simple oversight. Do not think it's because of a beating heart in humanitarian compassion. Do not think it's born out of alliance or partnership. The Obaminator wants Islam to destroy Israel. It's obvious. And John Kerry is his implement. And yet, rather than blame themselves and be accountable when this scheme is made public, the U.S. State Department does what it does best, blame everyone else but itself. Her comments, this would be the State Department spokesperson, Jen Paskey's comments, were echoed, of course, by the White House, because they speak as two heads of the same snake. Where National Security Advisor, another snake, Susan Rice said the U.S. was dismayed by the mischaracterizations of Kerry's efforts. You know, Kerry is the one who lied yesterday when trying to deflect attention away from the recorded conversation where the President of the United States is belligerent, he's dictatorial, he's ignorant, he's irrational, he's grotesquely immoral, saying that it was Benjamin Netanyahu that requested the United States engage on its behalf to negotiate a truce. Israel saying, no, that's another lie. It was Kerry once again trying to impose the terms of this diabolical plan on Israel. The United States has become wholly dishonest in all of its dealings with every nation. And that sounds extreme, but it's true. No matter where you look, the United States is duplicitous. It's on the wrong side. It is the problem. Yes, Susan Rice said the U.S. Now, when she says the U.S., she's speaking for Americans. If you're aligned with this government, she's including you. Was dismayed. As if Susan Rice, Barack Obama, and John Kerry, along with Jen Paskey, represent the totality of the United States. God, I hope they don't. If they do, the fate of this country is going to be far worse than you can even imagine. She said the U.S. was dismayed by the mischaracterizations of Kerry's plan. No, they weren't mischaracterized. They were published. Israeli media reports have cast Kerry as seeking a ceasefire that is more favorable to Hamas by being dismissive of Israel's concerns. The peace plan only accommodates the Muslims' desires. It gives Muslims everything they want, including setting up Israel for its annihilation. It gives Israel nothing. It is so one-sided that it would be impossible to characterize this as stupidity. No, it's deliberate. Make no mistake, when the people of Israel are rushing to bomb shelters, when innocent Israeli and Palestinian teenagers are abducted and murdered, when hundreds of innocent civilians have lost their lives, I will, and we will, make no apologies for our engagement, said Lurch, John Kerry. Oh, that's really interesting. You're saying that Israel is rushing to bomb shelters. Go to hell, pal. I mean, just the stupidity of that. No, it's not stupid. The immorality of that. The dishonesty of that. It's grotesque. He uses Palestinian teenagers, plural. No, there's one. And he's not a Palestinian, and you know it. And he speaks of hundreds of innocent civilians losing their lives. There hasn't been one innocent civilian that's lost their lives. Not one. You aren't innocent when you are corrupted by the most deadly, the most hateful, the most intolerant, the most enraged, the most counterproductive religion ever conceived. And when you follow that religion's edicts, when you knowingly and willingly sacrifice yourself for your religion, you are not innocent. The world needs to get that through its ever-loving head. You know, there's a great example. I just don't want to come across as someone who is only opposed to Islam, because I'm not. I am opposed to Islam because it is the single most corrosive religion ever perpetrated on humankind. The single most deadly, most dishonest, most deplorable religion ever conceived. But it's not the only disgusting religion. Over the past few days, I have been working to complete a segment of a chapter that will soon be posted at yadayah.com. It will be posted in Volume 7, the first chapter on the history of the beast that is human civilization is already posted. This is the second that focuses almost entirely on Rome, and particularly how Rome created the culture that made it possible for a religion as at war with its own roots as Christianity is possible. And we're going to talk just a moment about the great persecution. It's an interesting phrase that comes up in this article. The coordinated pushback in Washington. This is a pushback against Israel, mind you. Coordinated pushback. White House, U.S. State Department, Susan Rice, who is National Security Advisor. Now, tell me, what does Israel defending itself have to do with the security of the United States? What is Susan Rice even doing chiming in here? Why is the U.S. Secretary of State involved when Israel is defending itself against a terrorist organization that has disregarded its previous commitment not to fire rockets into Israel? What is the White House doing, tongue-lashing Israel for telling the truth? And what is the United States doing, saying that we're on the high moral ground because civilians are dying, when they know, A, there's no such thing as a Palestinian, and B, there is no distinction in Gaza between a civilian and military because they don't have a military? Everyone that has been killed is a civilian. But the civilian designation is meaningless because everyone who has been killed is a Muslim. And you cannot be a Muslim without being devoted to the annihilation of Israel. The Quran specifies that. Now, there is this notion that children are innocent victims. And you could make the claim that unintended consequence of, well, intended by Hamas, unintended by Israel, of Muslims using children to protect their military weapons, to protect their their weapon systems, to shield their weapon systems, opposed to using weapon systems to shield their children. They, in Islam, children are used to protect the weapons. It's everything. It's upside down in this religion. And it's stunning that people can't see this, can't deal with it, and that there are, the majority of people actually side with the mythical people called the Palestinians. It's just, it's stunning to me. But there seems to be no realization, total ignorance of why a child of Islam isn't innocent. From the moment that they are introduced to that culture, they are indoctrinated to hate Jews. They're photographed in little parades as suicide bombers. They're photographed in little parades carrying assault weapons. They're photographed in little parades with their hands upheld saying, "This is Jewish blood." Their morning cartoons tell them that if there is a Jew that is vulnerable to them, they must kill him. They're told that Israelis are a lesser life form that Muslims must annihilate. From the time they are 2 or 3 years old, they are already beyond hope. They're simply a suicide bomber, a jihadist, a mujahideen in the making. Their parents have destroyed all hope. And so there is no such thing as an innocent victim in Gaza. Muslims are murderous. They always have been. They always will be. It's just, again, it's inexcusable that people will defend Palestinians as if there was such a thing, not recognizing that what they're actually defending is Islam. And they're clueless. Haven't a clue. Completely ignorant of who Muhammad was, what he said, what he did, what the Quran requires. I mean, all you have to do is read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. And the first one is make-believe, and it's, it will take you 20 seconds. So it's really just read 8 surahs of the Quran. Or you can get right down to brass tacks and read the 5th, the 8th, and the 9th. Once you've done that, you'll know the truth. Islam is a declaration of war on all humankind. Muhammad was a terrorist. Islam is a terrorist manifesto. It is incompatible with anything that any moral, civil individual would view as appropriate. And so when you defend Islam, you're defending something that is purely evil. Those who are think that they're enlightened and that they are politically correct will say, well, you know, Islam is just a monotheistic religion like Christianity, and they're all Abrahamic religions. Well, putting aside the fact for the moment that all religions are human constructs and that they're all demonstrably false and internally contradictory. You know, being devoted to a false god, Allah, is actually worse than acknowledging no god, being an agnostic or an atheist. And to claim that Islam is Abrahamic is to be a moron. I mean, you'd really have to be a nincompoop. And I know that this is taught in the universities. It's taught in high school. It's considered scholastic to say that Islam is one of 3 Abrahamic religions. And it's absolutely idiotic. It would be like me, the caricature of Abraham and Islam, the presentation of Abraham and Islam, is so incongruous with the man's time, history, and personality. So absolutely incompatible with it. It would be like me saying that I'm going to start the Yada religion. But I'm not going to claim that I'm the first prophet of the Yada religion. I'm going to claim that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were the first prophets of the Yada religion, and that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were devotees of a nationalistic religion that was imposed on everyone. They wanted everyone, and they were articulate in communicating the idea that they wanted a nationalized religion, and it's the religion of Yada. Now, it's hard to make that claim because people today know that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were wholly opposed to a nationalized religion. That they would just dismiss it and say, you're not a Washingtonian or Jeffersonian religion. That's absurd. You've completely mischaracterized them. Well, that's the exact same thing that's true with Islam. And so when somebody makes that claim or repeats the claim, what they're saying is, I'm ignorant, I'm irrational. You ought to laugh at me or pity me. The fact is that Islam is the antithesis of what Yahweh presents in the Torah. It is absolutely the opposite. What is black is white, what is white is black. What is good is bad, what is bad is good. It is a complete reversal of the Torah. And as such, it is pure evil. It's the most deadly, the most deceitful, the most destructive dogma man has ever conceived. And so when you rally behind, as so many Americans do, and so many Europeans do, so many politicians do, including Abomination, the cause of a mythical people labeled Palestinians, as opposed to calling them what they are, Muslims. What you're doing is aiding and abetting pure evil. There is no distinction between Hamas and Boko Haram, the mass kidnappers and rapists of Nigeria. There is no distinction between Hamas and the Islamic State, the fundamentalist Muslims who just put out their decree to Christians saying, convert or die. The terrorism expressed against the United States on 9/11 by the 19 Islamic suicide bombers does not differ in any way, shape, or form at all, not by even the smallest nuance, from the motivations and the identity of the Muslims in Gaza. It is the same. The religion that motivated the Beslan School massacre is the religion that motivates Hamas. And when you, like the President of the United States, his National Security Advisor, his Secretary of State, advocate on behalf of an Islamic terrorist organization like Hamas, you are aiding and abetting the most deadly, the most destructive, the most deceitful and damning dogma humankind has ever conceived. And if you voted for them, if you support them, you're no better than they are. If you give lip service to a Palestinian cause, ignorant of the fact that there is no such thing as a Palestinian, and that you're actually advocating Islam, this horrid and murderous religion, shame on you. This particular article continues with the following words. This coordinated pushback against Israel, of course, in Washington came amid growing U.S. frustration with Israel as Palestinian civilian casualties mount amid a sustained Israeli air and ground war in the Gaza Strip. Well, there's no such thing as a civilian casualty or an innocent casualty amongst Muslims. And there is no such thing as a Palestinian. And the only reason that Israel is in Gaza is because the Muslims fired rockets into Israel in breach of their 2012 agreement not to do so. In recent days, U.S. officials have been using subtle yet noticeably tougher language. There's nothing subtle about it. In pressing Israel to accept an immediate and unconditional humanitarian ceasefire. No, they want Israel to have a unilateral ceasefire. And not only a unilateral ceasefire, it's mind-boggling. It's not just that Israel has a unilateral ceasefire and withdraws from Gaza. Ceasefire, withdraw. But also lift the blockade of weapons into Gaza at the same time. Now, that would leave only one of Hamas's demands left unfulfilled, which is the occupation. And with Israel out of Gaza, the only occupation that Hamas will be focused on ending will be the very existence of Israel. And don't think for a moment that Obama Nation doesn't know it. That's why the United States is called out and warned by God in the 18th chapter of Isaiah at this time. The U.S. has made little progress in achieving that objective. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a televised speech on Monday that his country must be ready for a prolonged campaign against Hamas in Gaza. As Kerry returned from the region over the weekend, Israeli media commentators leveled almost nonstop criticism of the attempts to bring Qatar and Turkey, two countries viewed by Israel as strong Hamas supporters, into the ceasefire negotiations. Now, by the way, this report proceeds by 2 days. It follows by 1 day the conversation that was recorded between Benjamin Netanyahu and the Obamanator. But it proceeds by 2 days the release of that audio recording, where the Obamanation demanded, told Israel unequivocally, you will accept Turkey and Qatar as mediators, even though Israel said, but they're Hamas's greatest supporters. And the Obamanator said, you're not in a position to choose mediators, because Israel was being dictated to by the President of the United States. What this does is it provides absolute proof that that which was revealed on that audio recording is the American position. That America has become the de facto dictator of the world. That evidence and reason no longer matter. And that America is steadfastly on the side of Islamic terrorism. Kerry was also accused of abandoning some of Israel's key demands during the negotiations, including a demilitarizing of Gaza. The other point that was made. That's the key point. In fact, there's nothing more important than that point. That has always been the agreement. When the United States forced Israel to retreat from Gaza almost a decade ago, leaving Gaza as a festering hellhole of religion, a death zone. The one thing that Israel insisted on and was promised by the United States, which can never be trusted, about the ongoing condition of Gaza is that it remain demilitarized. And now look at this. The United States is reneging on that promise and telling Israel, you can forget it. From this point forward, as many weapons as they want, they're entitled to. Even though America itself will be buying them. Oh, boy. Can you imagine God's animosity towards this nation? If you're an American, lay low. If you're an American, stop voting. If you're an American, every way that you possibly can within the law to avoid any association with this country, you need to do. To disassociate yourself from this country in every possible legal way. As Yahusha said, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. They want your taxes. Pay them. Obey the laws. But do not pledge allegiance. Do not sing the national anthem. Do not vote. Do not speak out on behalf of any American institution. Do not feign support for the military. Do not fly this flag. Unless you want God to despise you as much as he does this country. In trying to implement the ceasefire over the weekend, quote, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry ruined everything, end quote, wrote columnist Ari Shavit in Monday's Haaretz, which means land, Israel's leading liberal newspaper. Quote, very senior officials in Jerusalem described the proposal that Kerry put on the table as a strategic terrorist attack. They're right. His editorial was that the Kerry's plan, which is to militarize Gaza, to end the blockade of weapons into Gaza, and to have Israel unilaterally withdraw from Gaza and unilaterally engage in a ceasefire, which is nothing but an ode to terrorism, that when the newspaper printed that story, the United States attacked. I mean, and it's attacking the Israeli media by its national security advisor, by the White House, and by the State Department. Attacking the Israeli media as a national institution, the United States. Wow. Stunning, huh? U.S. officials disputed the notion that Kerry had formally presented Israel a ceasefire proposal and cast the document in question as a draft given to the Israelis as part of an effort to gain their input in seeking a week-long cessation of hostilities. Oh, what liars. The United States does not get Israel's input. The United States dictates to Israel. Kerry, peace accord that he was mushing into Israel before the Ukraine blew up his timing. And then Hamas responded so viciously following the kidnapped and murders of four Israeli children with their rocket fires. The Kerry's plan that he was enforcing on Israel, that he was dictating to Israel, saying, you either will accept this plan as it is laid out, or you will be abandoned by the entire world. It didn't solicit Israel's input. It was imposed on them. And the only reason it isn't enforced today is because Hamas couldn't help themselves. They had to act like Muslims, and they started shooting rockets again and kidnapping and killing. There's no negotiation here. He came with a plan. Kerry doesn't come over and say, let's just all sit down and talk. This idea of saying, you know, which we're going to back away from this. Now that you've revealed what it is that we are demanding, we don't very much like that. We don't like you for bringing out into the light which we are demanding in the darkness. But that's really become the United States. Blackmailing, threatening countries in the darkness, and then ashamed when their behavior is brought to light. Officials said the draft was based on an earlier Egyptian ceasefire proposal that Israel had accepted, but Hamas had rejected. Yeah, right. I want to tell you that the Egyptian agreement didn't have Turkey and Qatar as the negotiators. Just a series of lies. That's all the United States can do these days is lie. And if you're flying the flag, there's something wrong with you. You're just ignorant. Jen Paskey said the U.S. was surprised and obviously disappointed to see the draft proposal made public. Yeah, why would you be? I mean, if you were doing something that was worthy, if you were doing something that was honorable, if you were doing something that was just, why would you be disappointed to see your proposal public? Come on. All of you who are out there who are pro-Muslim, who are pro-mythical Palestinian, who are anti-Israel, who are patriotic Americans, you tell me how it's possible that you could be disappointed to see your own draft proposal made public unless your proposal was embarrassing. I mean, don't these spokespeople like the State Department think before they flap their lips? How in the world can you think that making public something that is going to involve the entire fate of a country is disappointing unless you disregard the fate of that country? The United States ought to be ashamed, and it's just not moral enough to feel shame. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.